my parents came to Australia in 76, so just getting away from one of the civil wars that was happening in Lebanon. They were lucky enough to be able to immigrate to Australia. Mum was pregnant at the time, so she was quite lucky. She actually arrived into Australia and then had my brother 3 days later. So
wow, what a way to arrive.
Yes, like, hello, welcome home. I guess it was a hard life for them over there, and I'm so glad that I haven't had to experience that. Been living in Australia, quite lucky that I've had to, I haven't had to sort of deal with the aspects of war and things like that, and having to worry about your life, your children's life, and things like that. So very grateful that my parents were able to come here.
And have you made trips back to Lebanon in your lifetime, Linda?
I have. So I have. I went back. The first time I went back, I was 18 years old. So I had finished my HSC, and I thought I'll go and visit my family. Well, back in Lebanon, and then we've been back twice since I've been married with the children. So they've gone back and to visit some family and friends in Lebanon since then. Yeah. So it's lovely, but it's a place where you know that you'll only be a holiday destination. So yeah, Australia is my home for sure. What makes it lovely, though, is to go and see, for example, you know, my grandparents and my aunts and uncles who obviously still live there. But that side of things is beautiful. And the country itself is beautiful as well. But I'm always glad when I'm back on Australian shores.
Where does food sit then in your family's traditions and your family's priorities, and also thinking about growing up in Sydney then?
So culture is still very important. So obviously we still, you know, share and teach the cultural side to the children and things like that. And I grew up, you know, learning Arabic and things like that to sort of keep them present, but also aligning them with our Australian values as well. So, and they're quite similar. There was nothing really much different about them, but it is, you know, it's nice to be able to have your traditional celebrations and your traditional foods and things like that. And it's nice to sort of, you know, fuse them with my now Aussie side as well.
You've always been a baker, haven't you? Like, even from a really early age. Like, what's your first memory cooking?
Oh, I used to always bake with mum in the kitchen. So it was always cakes and things like that, and, you know, traditional Lebanese sweets and things like that. So it was always something that myself and my mum in the kitchen, you know, enjoying these times, you know, making cakes. Mum was a whiz with the Women's Weekly cakes as well. So it wasn't even just, you know, the Lebanese or traditional Lebanese dishes. It was, you know, the good old Barbie doll birthday cakes and things like that. And, you know, it was a great mix. It was great. But yeah, absolutely. Baking was, you know, something that mum and I shared together.
You became a corporate travel consultant earlier in your career.
Yes. So I started, I love traveling. So one of the things I thought I did study tourism and retail travel, so I did start out in as a travel consultant. And then when I moved to Canberra, my husband was studying, so I was started out in the travel industry. I then took a little bit of a break to have my first child, did some other things as well, and then went back to, corporate travel, which was nice. It was a nice change from retail to corporate side.
You went on to have 5 children.
Yep, a little busy. We've always wanted a big family. When my husband and I sort of, you know, were sort of planning things like that, we always wanted, liked having a large family, the idea of having a large family. So, yeah, it was, yeah, it's been good. It's busy, but it's, you know, I wouldn't change it. They drive me insane a lot of the time, but, you know, again, I wouldn't change it.
Cooking's always been a passion, but so too well-being and fitness.
Yes.
And you got involved with the extremely popular Canberra group, the Mum's Exercise Group. Tell me about that, first as a volunteer.
I've always enjoy fitness. It's always been a passion of mine, so I do love it. The only thing, when I first found Mega, I was absolutely surprised. I had just had my daughter. She was 4 months old, my youngest daughter, and I was at a gym at the time. But I found it hard because she was a very clingy baby. So it was very hard to work out when you have a very clingy baby. So when I found Megan, I thought, oh, I can exercise and I can have her right by my side. I thought, well, this is fantastic. Where has this been all my life? So I did start attending the sessions walking up Mount Ainslie while holding baby wearing and the boot camps with, you know, where my child would be right next to me, either in the pram or on a mat on the ground. It was fantastic. So I started out as just a member attending sessions, and I thought by the end of 2016, early 2017, I was filling in for a few other facilitators who were either away or things like that. And then I ended up facilitating myself, so running a couple of sessions a week, moved on to like 4 sessions a week where I was sort of, you know, training and exercising with mums and having people that were, you know, had the same values and same ideas and know how crazy it is being a mum, but also being able to exercise with them. It was fantastic. It was something that every mum, I think, should join if they are able to. They should join, yeah.
And if you're not familiar with MEGA, it's the Mums Exercise Group Australia, the Canberra branch that Linda's talking about. So this has really grown into a bigger part of your life, hasn't it, in terms of the sort of training and support that you offer through the Canberra Islamic Centre?
Yeah, so I was lucky enough in 2018 to be offered a scholarship from MEGA to go on and receive study for my Cert 4 in PT, which was fantastic. So I was able to then offer not just the mothers of the group, a more qualified trainer, but I was able to move on to sort of focusing on a lot of the women in our community who find it a little bit difficult to get out and exercise, who they hardly, you know, find it a little bit hard or uncomfortable to enter a gym or whatever, for whatever reasons. And so I thought, you know, this would be a great opportunity to, you know, to offer a service for those with those ladies who are unable. So I do offer training sessions for them, also do monthly walking groups all around Canberra. We sort of pick a spot. It's like, okay, we'll walk, you know, sort of Lake Tuggeranong or Lake Burley Griffin or something like that, or Mount Taylor, just to try and get these the women in our community out and exercising and see that it can be fun, it's not scary and things like that. And I think, you know, hopefully I can sort of, you know, get them to be in a more healthier way of living sort of thing and having exercise a part of their life, yeah.
This is through your own fitness business, Sister PT.
That's right, yeah, Sister PT.
But then how did you come to be the Queen of Batnawa?
Well, before my PT business, I did have a baking business where, you know, offering cakes and other Lebanese sweets. But I did have to sort of set that down for a little bit while I was studying because there was just too many balls in the air and I didn't want to drop any. I hate failing at something. So I sort of, you know, thought I'll just put the cakes on hold and things like that and we'll just, you know, focus on this studying for the moment. And once the training was done, it was something that my husband started for me, actually. It was just one night we're sitting down and he's like, oh, I just did something. And he just phrased it like that. I'm like, oh, dear God, what did you do? What did you do? He's like, oh, I just started, Linda's baklava for you. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, and you've got 2 orders already. I'm like, rightio.
On which platform did he start this for you?
Oh, just on Facebook pages sort of things, just on Facebook. So, yeah, it was just something that was started from there. And I'm like, oh, rightio, okay. We're just going to be making baklava now as well. We'll just add that to the other things that I do.
So what's happened with that? You started with 2 orders. What's been the journey?
It's been crazy, actually. Amazing. Baklava is something that I do love. I love the reason why, the background of the baklava in the Lebanese, you know, community and things like that as the gift to sort of offer when you're invited to someone's place or to congratulate a new mum or things like that. In the Lebanese community, that's what we sort of do. You always take a tray of baklava. So I didn't mind. It was just something I was like, oh, okay, we'll just do that. Why not? The difference or the similarities with baklava in the Lebanese tradition to an Australian sort of version is your Cadbury favourites or your Cadbury roses sort of thing. So if you're invited to a barbecue or you know, for dinner or something like that, you never go empty-handed. So, you know, the Australian way was probably, you know, to take a box of Cadbury favourites. So the Lebanese version of that is baklava. when I first moved to Canberra, even up until just recently, we've never had a Lebanese or a Middle Eastern sweet shop here. It's like if you need something or you would like a Lebanese dessert, you'd have to make it yourself. So that's actually how I started trying to make baklava myself. It was a pretty long journey. There were a lot of doozies.
Sweet doozies. Couldn't be that bad, surely, Linda.
Oh, you know, look, yeah, it was quite interesting. Some of them that came out was like, oh, okay. I mean, they're edible, essentially. I mean, they're like, who can give up, you know, nuts, pastry and sugar? But just the way, you know, it's like, okay, no, that's not baklava. That's, you know, that's... Yeah. So,
what was the worst thing you created on that journey to get the right combination?
Oh, a brown soggy mess. I think that was the worst one. I was like, oh no, that's totally not right. But my husband enjoyed them still. He was always my taste tester, and he'll always be my taste tester. And whether that's good or bad, but you know, he's never fussy, which is really good.
And it's grown and grown. And grown.
Yes.
What's a year in the life of Linda's baklava like these days?
It's quite busy. So we move on to, sometimes 3-4 trays a week, depending on the season. It gets even busier during our traditional holidays. So we have 2 major holidays a year. With those, I'd be pretty much baking multiple trays a day for up to a week at least to get through all the orders. Yes, so it is busy.
Have you outgrown this kitchen, Linda?
Oh, I outgrew this kitchen 3 children away. So, yeah, so it is on the list to improve the kitchen. But, you know, it's on the list. We'll just say that.
What is your longer-term dream for food and also your other interests and how that would fit with your family commitments?
Okay, yeah. So my long-term dream would probably be like a little cafe where I'd offer, you know, baklava with coffee and tea and things like that, or a place where you can just come in and enjoy, you know, a cup of coffee or tea and, you know, and a slice of baklava. That would be, that's, you know, something that's sort of, or any other desserts or something like that. So, yeah, it is in my plans. I would love to do that, be able to offer Canberra that, yeah.
A bricks and mortar.
Yeah.
Offering.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that in your 5-10 year or other plan?
Probably, yeah, 5-10 years, I think. Yeah, absolutely. Once the children get a little bit older, I think, and I can dedicate more time to that. Yeah, because I know I'm working from home, and that's the beauty of being able to work from home and able to, you know, I still have younger children, so who are obviously my priority. So yeah, once I get a little bit older and a little bit self-sufficient, I think, and I think that'll be something that I could work for. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.